Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address, crossandthrone.com. We also have another web address, paulsevangel.com. They both go to the same place, but we have two just to, some people have problems remembering Cross and Throne, so we have paulsevangel.com. And go there. You can download these programs for free. Just as a reminder, we have an upcoming conference, September 18th through 20th in the Chicagoland area. And hope you can join us. If you're in Indianapolis or Huntsville or South Carolina, wherever you're listening, please consider. It'd be a good long weekend around folks who are teaching this message of Paul's evangel and the saviorhood of God. And we hope to see you there. Let us know if you're coming. Go to our website and get in contact with us through there. We are in Ephesians chapter 2. And we pointed last time, we read commented on verses 1 through 7, and now we're in verses 8 through 10. I want to read it and then go back and comment. We read this: "For in grace, through faith, are you saved. And this is not out of you, it is God's approach present, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. For his achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand, that we should be walking in them." There's a lot here. Last time we pointed out in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, how that God suspended his indignation on this earth for the coming that's going to happen in the Great Tribulation, in order that he might display his transcendent grace to those who deserve the opposite. And we saw how God has chosen the members of the body of Christ to have the place seated with him among the celestials. And we pointed out that this is a gift. This is not about us. It's in grace. And Paul continues by saying, "For in grace, through faith, are you saved." Do you hear that? In grace, through faith, are you saved. I'm going to do a lot of repeating today, because man is self-righteous. "For in grace, through faith, are you saved, and this is not out of you." Did you hear that? Are you saved? In grace, through faith, are you saved, and this is not out of you. It is not out of you. Repeat after me. Your salvation is not out of you. There is nothing inside of you that came out of you that merited your salvation. Some people think that they welled up in them enough faith that was inside of them, and they exercised this faith and it came out. And then God said, "Look what came out of him. I'm going to save him." Let me repeat. "For in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you." There's nothing in you that you thought. There's nothing in you that you personally believed that saved you. In grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you, it's God's approach present. Your faith and salvation is God's present to you. In the Concordant Version does it justice. It says it is God's approach present. And it's a present which God approaches you with throughout the Old Testament. And if you read the Concordant Version in Genesis 32 and 43, an approach present is prepared. It's something that you use to gain admittance into some, you know, a king or somebody that you want to appease them with. And salvation is not us appeasing God with a present, but it's God coming to us with an approach present to win our favor. See, what a wretched concept religion has drawn up of God. And the foremost of this, I hate to say it, is Christianity. Christianity has given the worst concept of God possible. God is up in heaven, he's mad at everyone, and they better do something to get it right. Absolutely not, that's false. God is coming to man with an approach present to win his favor. Our faith and in grace through faith are you saved. Our salvation and the faith that we have is God's approach present to us. It's God setting something before us, and it gains him access to us. He does it all. And that's why we love him, because of what he's done for us, not what we've done for ourselves. In grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works. That goes along with not out of you. So it's not drawn out by you, and it's not drawn out by your works. It's not out of works. Lest anyone should be boasting. Men love to boast. Men love to boast. And even today in Christian circles, you ask most people, they say, how are you saved? They said, I'm saved because I made a wise decision. I came down an altar and I knelt and prayed and I repented and I shed my tears and look at what I have done since then. This is nonsense. This is salvation by works, and it is an abomination to God. And God approaches you with the present. It says here, lest anyone should be boasting. No one should be boasting. You know, boasting comes in all forms. It doesn't have to, you don't have to just go to the end zone and spike the ball and do a chicken dance to boast. Boasting is something that it's just simply man taking credit. It's not just a haughty braggart, but one who thinks that there is something good in him apart from God. You hear that? Somebody who boasts is not somebody just an outward braggart, you know, like these guys who in football, they make a tackle and they get up and dance. Well, that's what you get paid for. They're down 42-0, and they make a tackle and they get up and dance. Man loves to boast about his achievements. But that's not what he means here. It could be that. But a boaster, according to the scripture, is somebody who thinks that in him there's something good apart from God. You can even come across as pious and humble when you say this. But friends, I haven't earned it, neither have you. And you and I have nothing good in us apart from God. Even our faith, our salvation, the whole thing is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. There will no one be boasting. For his achievement are we. See, you and I didn't achieve anything. We are God's achievement. And, you know, let's take the Sears, let's pick any building. And I'm in the Chicagoland area, and there's the Sears Tower. The Sears Tower didn't build itself. At one time, it was the tallest building in the world. It was quite an achievement, but it wasn't the Sears Tower did not achieve its stature. The creators of it did. We are his achievement being created in Christ Jesus. You see that? The creator gets all the credit. No one looks at the Sears Tower and says, my, look at that Sears Tower. Look how high it is. What a great work it did. No, the architect is marveled at. God is the great architect. We are his achievement being created in Christ Jesus. And you cannot do good works. You cannot be a workman for God until you first become a workmanship of God or his achievement. You know, people are always crying about being unworthy, right? They always cry, I'm unworthy, I don't deserve it. But, well, of course you don't deserve it. Stop, you know, this is the opposite form of pride, thinking you don't deserve it. People are always, oh, I'm so unworthy. Of course you're unworthy. If you were worthy, Christ wouldn't have to die. So guess what? You can be happy you're unworthy because it's your unworthiness that makes a Savior necessary. It's your unworthiness that made the Savior come. And this, it's your unworthiness that allows God to magnify his worthiness. Now, some are going to take that and, you know, I don't care what people do with it, because the truth is truth no matter what somebody does with the truth. We are his achievement, and we're being created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, we're going to stop here. It says we're created in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this real quickly here. I am not born again. I am a new creation. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Christ died for my sins, was entombed, and roused again the third day according to the Scriptures. I believe that I'm justified by faith. And because of that, I've been declared righteous, and I am a new creation. John chapter 3 is for Israel. The new birth is for Israel. Being born again is for Israel. Christians should stop using that terminology for themselves. It is for Israel. Stop stealing what belongs to the nation of Israel. Because when you do that, you do not enrich yourself, and you only rob God's people, Israel, of their promises. We are a creation, and a new creation is not a new birth. There are distinctive terminologies in Scripture. So for his achievement are we being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. Now, it says here, we're walking, not working. We have employment in God's Ionian purpose, but God makes it ready beforehand that we should be walking in it. So the good works are something that God has accomplished for us. Now in Ephesians 1, 2, 1 through 10, I'm going to read you the comment of the Concordant Commentary on Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 8. And this is what he says. Compare the condition of the two classes with that of the individual believer in Romans 6, 2. In other words, compare Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 with Romans 6, 2. Such as have died to sin together with Christ are vivified together with him and are reckoning themselves to be dead indeed to sin. So here in Ephesians, the nations and some of the Jews collectively are dead to sins and offenses and are roused co-jointly and seated co-jointly in Christ. We have not only been saved by grace, but salvation also introduces us into the sphere of grace's operations. Salvation calls for further favors of being vivified and roused and seated in Christ together with an election out of Israel. We are not risen with Christ, for rise refers particularly to the body. The oncoming eons themselves, the scenes of the riches of God's grace, will be directed to God's favor lavished upon us as the supreme transcendent achievement of his unassisted, unforced grace. Salvation in its beginning is of faith in order to accord with grace. As a state or condition, it continues to preserve its gracious character. It is not of us. It is God's way of winning our favor. This is the force of the term approach present, which was used of the Corban or approach offering in Leviticus 1, 2, etc. I thought I'd just read those comments to you to show you some of the great little trinkets you get with the Concordant Commentary. It's not exhaustive, but A. Enoch put more truth in a couple paragraphs than most put in 500 pages. Let me repeat this again. Those of you listening, number one, you're saved in grace through faith. Number two, it's not out of you. Nothing out of you came out of you to merit this. Number three, it is God's approach present. Salvation is not us pleasing God, it's God approaching us with a present. Number four, it's not of works. It's not anything that you do in your works, lest anyone should be boasting. Number five, we are his achievement. We can't brag about what God achieved. Number six, we are created in Christ Jesus. We're not born again. We're a new creation. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile in this body. And number seven, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And those good works were made ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. God prepares the good works. Well, that's all we can go on today. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address, crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. By the way, you can also go to paulsevangel.com. You can either go to crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. Both bring you to the same place. Go to our site, get a copy of the Concordant Version and the Concordant Commentary, and a few other great tools that you need for study. If you want to keep this program running, please consider helping us at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Or you can also make a donation on our website, if you please. We have a conference coming up in the Chicagoland area, September 18th through the 20th. Come on out. I will be there. Martin Zender will be speaking. Clyde Pilkington, Dean Huff from the Concordant Concern, a Bible translator. Jim Corum of the Concordant Publishing Concern, an author. Tony Nungesser and Gene F. Douglas. We got some good brothers there. So until next time, remember this. The closer you draw near to Christ, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.